Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
It is 8:36. We wanted to try and understand what on earth goes on in our brains. Because why is it that sometimes when you need to retrieve a memory and you actually want to retrieve a memory, you just can't? We feel like our brain has blocked them. Dr. Michael Huth is a specialist neurologist from the Neurological Association of South Africa. Good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, Howard. Nice to be on with you.
It is great to chat to you. So what is it with our brains? It feels like our own worst enemy, but is it?
It's a very good question. I think that memory is a very interesting topic, very complicated, but very important for our lives. In fact, if one tries to understand what it means to actually be a human being and have a personality and a life and an experience of life, it all comes down to your memory, because that's what stores your experience of your life each day, every month, every year that you live, and it makes you who you are. So I always go back to telling a story that the chapter in my neurology textbook that spoke about memory had the title, The Development of the Personality, meaning that the person becomes a person because they store all their experiences and knowledge in their memory. So really, it's crucial to a person's life. And people understand this. They really get to experience this when they see their loved ones experience a illness that affects their memory, such as Alzheimer's disease or other dementias, or when people have head injuries and are unable to remember things, then they realize how important memory is. And, you know, there are various aspects of memory. There's short-term memory, which is something that you have to remember what's something in the moment or memorize something. There's working memory, which is the ability to use memory for tasks and for doing things. And there's long-term memory, where the short-term things that you've remembered get stored sometimes for many years in the brain. And, you know, it's a fascinating topic. People have been trying to work this out, how to remember things for years.
What's so fascinating is my own experience when I was hijacked. There were two people at my car with guns. One of them had a huge shotgun looking thing. The other one had a handgun. And when I was recounting the incident to the police or to security, I said the guy with the handgun was at the passenger side, not at my head, whereas the handgun was at my head. But they had already looked at the footage on the CCTV camera. And in fact, I had inverted that because I got it wrong. And I would have sworn that the shotgun was not anywhere near me. It was further away. And I pride myself in my memory. But in fact, I had distorted my own memory, maybe because of the trauma of it. And I would have absolutely sworn to my version of the events. What is that?
So that's a very understandable experience, specifically because that experience of the hijacking for you was very, very obviously emotional, full of a lot of fear. And it is very much typical for the brain to either distort memories or to highlight certain things and ignore other things. And what's found often is when a memory is recalled out of the areas of the brain from sort of long-term memory, so something that's longer than, you know, a couple of hours, the brain often fills in the gaps that aren't there with its own recreations. So even if you're thinking now of an experience you had 25 years ago, a holiday with a friend or family, etc., you will have certain accurate, truthful memories of what the day was like or the weather or the feeling or etc. But a lot of the memory and the feeling, the re-experiencing of that situation actually can be filled in by the brain and sort of patched up, if means. Like the movie is kind of only half made, and the brain kind of takes the rest of the movie. And in a very highly emotional situation or experience, that can be obviously incorrect for various, you know, for various reasons, because there was so much emotion there to interfere with the ability to take in an accurate assessment of the situation.
It's really fascinating, but and then so that makes sense. What happens when we're sitting in an exam and we're trying to access things that we know we've learned, but somehow the anxiety or the stress of the situation maybe prevents us from doing so?
So that is, I mean, in order to access memories that you may have memorized and to recall them, you need to be in a certain type of state, and you need to be in a relaxed and calm state in terms of emotions, and you need to be in a very attentive state and alert. So that's why people talk about having enough sleep before an examination, being, you know, in the right type of sort of emotional sort of preparation for the examination. Because even if you have studied the information and you've memorized it, record it and retrieve it, you need to be in the best state possible. So you need to be in a good, in a top state of alertness and attention when you memorize and when you're actually studying, and also when you are recalling and retrieving that information.
Very, very sound advice. It is 8:43. Dr. Michael Huth, thank you for chatting to us about
Pleasure,
memory
Howard.
And about the brain.